Okay, we're in studio now for the next 50. Is there something going on, Caroline? She's standing at the door. No, nothing. Right. For the next 56 odd minutes, we are in the company of Katie McGee. Hi, Katie.
Hello.
Good morning to you. How are you keeping?
I am fabulous.
Yes.
I am as fabulous as the fabulous sunshine.
Okay, isn't it beautiful? And if you're listening where it's rainy, like Kathy in London, my apologies. apparently it's very wet in London. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm not fabulous. I mean, I pale in comparison to Katie, but I'm doing really well.
Did you
well.
Not woke up this morning?
I did.
Do you not feel the gift of life?
I do.
The wonderful vibes.
I do.
That was an early mistake there from you.
Right.
Trying to be polite and looking at the person you're talking to doesn't work on radio. Right. Okay. Listen, I'm starting with, even if you haven't watched it, and neither you seem to have, it was talked about because I watched it this week.
Good.
Baby Reindeer.
Tell
on
us.
Netflix. It's so, like, you know, I think it's more of an interesting talking point than it is a watch.
So believe the hype, or?
Yeah, believe the hype. Katie, you weren't.
I watched the first couple of episodes and I wasn't.
Everybody's watched it.
It just didn't take me, do you know?
Okay.
I don't know what it is about it. Now, I said to you during the week, oh, it's a bit dark, whatever, but I know I've watched some pretty, I do watch, you made a good point, I watched some dark stuff, but I don't know, it just didn't grab me for some reason.
All right, well, let's see what the listeners think. 0866 25,000. It's on Netflix. A lot of people have watched it. It's one of those water cooler shows where Netflix didn't really have to advertise it. They just needed a certain amount of their subscribers to watch it and then spread the message on. It's a real life story of a comedian, and the comedian is actually the actor. It's the real life story of a comedian who, through seemingly one act of kindness, he works in a bar in London, one act of kindness, a woman becomes fascinated with him. Now, these stalker stories are really quite familiar. We've seen them a tons of times, and he doesn't really like the word stalker, it seems, but like he's not a great person either, right? So I think this is a program that focuses on the grey area of humanity. Okay, so there's not a victim and a victim and a perpetrator as such. I think the perpetrator is part victim,
also,
and
right.
I
yes.
think
yeah.
the victim is part perpetrator.
Yes,
and I'm not saying you know you can encourage people into doing things that are bad to you, but he put his own feelings and puts his own feelings, I think, throughout the show. Ahead of, you know, the consideration he should have for the person who is effectively the perpetrator. And I think it does that really quite well. Mm-hmm. But as I say, I think this is a story about the grey area of human emotion than it is about sort of a stalker and a victim.
Like
that's a great review. Yeah. That makes it sound very interesting. I mean, that's a big plus, isn't it?
It definitely
well,
is.
It is, yeah.
Especially considering he wrote it and he was the obviously the person involved.
I'm following the woman on Facebook.
The actress?
Yeah.
Is she
No, not the actress.
Oh, the real woman.
Yeah. You're one of them people.
She's kind of live blogging
the episodes.
Of it all. Well, not the episodes,
well,
just her whole experience.
She came out and she was sort of saying, like, you know, that she didn't like the way she was being painted on, you know, and that he was making money off her, basically. But I do think he did a good job at highlighting his own flaws in the process.
Yeah.
Mm.
With her, anyway.
The only thing, as I said to you before, and maybe to some extent since I spoke to you, I finished it, the only thing is that he doesn't seem to assume responsibility for anything in his life.
Yes.
And I have to be careful with that because some of his experiences, there is no, there is no responsibility to be assumed, don't get me wrong. But I just feel that And the fact that he writes it and stars in it, maybe he's aware of that. Is that you don't come out of it going, he's a lovely fella.
Yeah.
No.
You know, and you don't come out of it thinking she's the worst person in the world either.
No.
Good.
You sort of feel sorry for her.
Yeah, and I feel there was exploitation from one party to the other on both sides.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know, but he recognises that more, I think, as the show. And there's no spoilers in there. And as I say, you know, like, he's a very, very, very successful comedian. This is recent history. I mean, they talk about it like as if it was years ago, but it's not really. This was a period in the noughties. But if you have watched Baby Reindeer, please let us know. And of course, because it's popular, it's triggered all the memes and all that kind of stuff. So,
is the lead actress? I mean, that was the review last week that she was
she's
fantastic.
Brilliant, yeah, but she's been in lots of other stuff. Okay. And he apparently before this was even commissioned by Netflix, because he had this as a stage show. So he had this viral breakdown that people may have seen, right? Mm. It's not quite, it's somewhat real, represented in the program. And then he did a series of interviews off the back of this video that went viral. And then he made a show out of it. And then Netflix saw it and says, right, we want to make a show out of your show, you know, a stage show. But no, it's good, and it's all the people still are around, and they all have their say, and that's not a spoiler in any way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. Because the guy's doing the circuit, doing the interviews and all that kind of stuff, and that's kind of a given. But it was good. It was good, but it's not a God-tier show either.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I think it's good because there's lots of convo after it. There's lots of conversation.
Because the reviews I've skimmed have said, like, it's going to be the show of the year. It's early in the year to be saying that.
I think people are getting caught up a little bit in the hype. Okay. I think
a lot of hype.
Yeah, I think as the months progress, it'll get a lot of awards. It's very well done, but... Could you compare it to a show of the year, Katie? Really, you know, like
I think when the hype calms down, that won't be the case at all.
Okay. But a lot of people say I did enjoy that.
It's quite
a great
different.
Show. Yeah,
it is very different to what's out there. You know, like in terms of stalker shows and all that kind of thing. Mm. And seeing it from both sides.
And I think there's also a penchant for people to say, if you don't mind me using a bit of French, for people to say that, like, and I know you've kind of said this, that it's very deep and heavy and all that kind of stuff. God, we, you know, if you find this deep and heavy, don't watch the news.
Because, yeah, 100%.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's fine. But don't be afraid of it, because, like, now, that being said, if you've been affected by things contained in this show, obviously, you know, that might trigger it, and that's different. Mm. But I think, just generally speaking, if you watch the news, you're going to get through this, right? Depending on your mood that you're in. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Baby Reindeer, have you watched it? Do you think it's great? What's your take on it versus what we've been talking about? This is your water cooler moment, so to speak. You have, I feel like this is reading in the ears. You've got Mindhunter. You've got Mindhunter.
Do you know, I have that because there was, in the last
That's
while.
That's a great show. Brilliant.
It is a brilliant show. And it's, again, I don't feel like enough people have watched this
show. No,
And again, there is, but having said that, there is on Facebook these petitions and everything for a season 3 to go ahead. And,
That's right. I've seen those. Yeah, I've seen that.
Although I think the director has come forward.
It costs
now
a fortune to make.
That's what it was. It was the, they reckoned that they weren't getting, I think they wanted more kind of a Hollywoodized version of the show for the budget that was going into it. So they basically said, either you have to lower your budget or you're going to have to make this more flashy to get more viewers, but the charm of it is that it's not flashy. You know, like, it's based in the late 70s, early 80s. It's the development of the BAU, the Behavioural Analysis Unit of the FBI. So it's in the training unit at this stage. And it is two detectives who basically go around to interview pretty high-profile serial killers to get into to get an idea of what way criminals are thinking for current cases that they are investigating. So that's it. But it is very, very worthwhile watch. It's a clever show. You don't want to look away, really.
And what I liked about it too is the characters that you meet in it, the serial killers, are characters that films and series have been made around.
Mm-hmm.
But you get an understanding is this moment that you can predict behavior or that you can profile behavior too. So we learned it ticks an awful lot of boxes. And the difference between this and Baby Reindeer is when we were talking, trying to frame it as to how popular it is. This is a show that people will discover in 5 or 10 years' time, and it'll never age. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, people will really, really recommend this. The other one is a little bit like a one-hit wonder show, if that makes sense. Maybe I'm being cruel.
That's it.
But now Mindhunter is just top, top draw.
So ashamed that, or not ashamed, it was such a shame in this room, isn't it?
Fix that in post. That'll be okay, because all this is edited before it goes out.
You are right. It's such a shame that it didn't continue on, because two seasons I just felt really like robbed.
Is it 10 episodes a season? Is it 20 episodes in total?
Do you know what? I can't even remember exactly how many episodes.
Yeah, but there are shows like 24,
that go on for
Dexter
years.
That maybe sometimes it's good to leave you wanting more than to sort of overstay your welcome.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. I'd still want more Dexter, to be fair. But that's not a good. It's not a good.
So would I, in fairness.
Example, yeah. Gregory.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, Katie, I was just saying, maybe you know, it's nice to want.
No, it is. You know. But then give me more. Then don't you know, like, just leaves me angry.
It's a full marks job anyway, isn't it?
Full marks, 100%. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
Mindhunter is on Netflix, and it sort of procedural stuff. If you're interested in serial killers, investigation, clever characters, you know, it just is. It's top.
I never gave up hope of a revival. Look, Deadwood, was that like 20 years people waited for?
Yeah,
the
but
conclusion?
You can see this costs a fortune to make in the
period
era that
things.
It's
I suppose that's big.
So. Well, but no, you never know. Yeah. The only thing is normally it's Netflix that's the savior of the day for things that are cancelled.
Yes, true.
Okay, that is Mindhunter. It is on Netflix, and it really is well worth a watch. And it's one of those shows where if you say to someone if you watched it, the next thing is if they say no, you go, oh my God, you're in for a treat. You know, you're lucky if you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I watched it twice, and the second time it was like watching it for the first time, so I actually had that joy twice. Okay, we're going to be getting a pick from Michael Leddy after this quick break.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Now, Michael Daly joins us on the programme now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Greg.
Okay, hi. And you are, of course, a member of Lifford Together Committee. And Lifford Together is an event held in Lifford Town and consists of a number of different activities held around it. And it started last Saturday, the 27th, and runs until this public holiday Monday, the 6th of May. So what can people do over the next couple of days in Lifford, Michael?
Over the next couple of days, there's a plethora, as people call it, of things happening. We've already had a Turbathon and darts competition, which was quite successful. And tonight there will be a Lady Gaga concert down at the courthouse.
Right.
Now, I don't know if it's the real Lady Gaga, but I presume maybe it's not. You know, it could be a...
It's Lady Goo Goo.
someone who looks... that could be it.
Right, that's fantastic. Where's that taking place?
Well, that's down in the...
Old courthouse.
The Old Lifford courthouse, yes. And there's a lovely surrounding of acoustics down there. You know, it's really it's a nice area for concerts.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
And there's another Sean Breen tomorrow night, or the night after as well.
Yeah.
Now, there are tickets for sale for all events, which are €10. And that allows you into the dog track on the 5th of May, where there's a gala night and for half price. And there's meals being served in the stadium on the gala night on the 5th as well.
That gets underway at 6 p.m.
What's important to me...
The Lifford Stadium gala night,
yes. And there will be... A huge amount of spot prizes, etc., you know, there as well. On Saturday at the Eclipse Cinema in Lifford, there will be a children's movie going, and there'll be face painting and activities for kids, and the cinema will only be €2. So Brilliant. That's a bargain, you know.
Excellent. So a great day out for the kids. Bring them to get the face painted, go and see a good film, and... There's also, talk to me about the dog walk and dog show. This is on Sunday.
On Sunday, well, that's the thing that I'm mostly involved in. You can come with your dog, any kind of dog, to Lifford Stadium and register from 10:30 in the morning. Now, we're going to go for a walk round Lifford, down past Old Daly's, down the Rowan, as we call it here, or the Bog Road. And come back up again, and then the competition would start, the dog. But you do not have to walk. It'll be about a mile altogether. You know, but we just thought it'd be a nice wee addition to get.
I think it's lovely. Right, now, the thing about it, there's two parts to this. Of course, it's great for the community to get together and have a bit of fun, be it younger people, older people, but also too, you're supporting the RNLI, a fantastic organisation that despite all the warnings and what have you, they're going to be called on at some point, you can be sure, over the next few days. They're voluntary and they'll be out and about saving lives. So it's a fantastic charity to be supporting as part of the Lifford Together series of events.
Yes. Well, it's their 200-year anniversary this year as well. suppose, a combination of things. But now, to be truthful, Greg, we are dipping our toe in the water. If anybody remembers Lifford back in the 80s and 90s, the festivals that we had here, they were something else that attracted people from thousands and thousands of people from around. It was just it was amazing. So we're dipping our toe back in to see the response.
A soft reboot. So if this is well supported, who's to say what might happen next year?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes. Well, we're just seeing what happens.
What dog do you have, Michael?
Me, myself?
Yes, of course. You obviously have an interest
in dogs. Oh, no, that's a... That's a sad story, Greg. Wee dog died last week.
No. Yes. Okay.
But it's in her name now. I started the whole thing. But she loved to be 15, so it was a...
And what was she called,
Michael? That's the thing with dogs. They don't love... Tilly.
Tilly, okay.
That's it. Yeah, so she was the inspiration for the dog walk. But now there seems to be a lot of interest, and it's and as the sun always shines in Lifford, Greg, we're expecting a good warm day.
Okay. You know,
it never rains in this
thing. No, I heard that, actually. It never rains. And also, the real Lady Gaga turns up to perform in the courthouse. Although, there's some of these tribute shows, and I'm not saying it's a tribute show, but I am, they're absolutely right. Fantastic. So you're going along to see Lady Gaga tonight. Get a front row seat. And then Tilly's dog walk and dog show then is on Sunday. And then on tomorrow, you can go to the cinema with the kids, get face painted, watch a kids' movie, all for €2. And then there's the Lifford Stadium Gala Light. For more information, you can go to theliffordstadium.com/Lifford together. Michael, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg, for giving us a little advertisement.
We don't call it an advertisement. It's called a feature.
Okay. Oh, a feature, sorry.
I'm joking.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, that's Michael Daly there. Thanks for that. The Fall Guy in the cinema. What is going on here?
The Fall Guy opened last night, so this is brand new. It's only opening in America today as well. I presume they had previews. This is Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, and this is posited to be the film of the summer for summer blockbusters. The Fall Guy was a TV show back in the 1980s. So some of us of my generation would have grown up watching it every week, every Friday night on ITV or Saturday evening on RT. Lee Majors had been the $6 million man in the 70s, and he was like the steel-jawed superhero. So for this TV show, he wanted to play a different type of hero. And he sort of, I think, borrowed from James Garner's playbook, The Rockford Files, where this was a reluctant sort of guy. Colt Seavers was a stuntman, bounty hunter, who didn't want any dangerous jobs. And when Big Jack would call him up, he was like, it's not dangerous. He didn't want people shooting at him. And it was a very funny show as well as being an action show. And it was very popular for like 5 seasons. It was a big hit. So this movie is, I must say, very much a faithful recreation of the TV show. It's very light and very funny. There's some fantastic action. Ryan Gosling is absolutely superb as the main character in this.
He's annoyingly handsome, though.
Annoyingly handsome, yes. He is absolutely gorgeous. He is so gorgeous, yeah. He is...
in the room.
Would you describe him as annoyingly anything?
I have to say... In interviews, I see him in interviews and stuff. Is he? No, he's just normal looking. But then you see him in movies, you're like, yeah, he is.
What about Emily Blunt, Greg? I mean, come on, does she not counteract? Yeah, she's stunning. Yeah,
she is stunning.
I'm not threatened by her,
and she's funny. She's funny as well.
Yeah, she's very funny in this.
Yeah, I don't find her threatening. I mean, he wears a green lilac jacket and looks fantastic.
He wear anything. He could bin bag. He could
wear nothing.
He could put sleeve holes in a bin bag and he'd be fine.
What are you laughing at?
She's picturing
because
that.
You're looking at me, waiting for me to say something. And I'm not going to.
You're rising above it. You're very good.
Right.
So the writer and director of this movie, it's definitely, when you look at their credits over the last decade, right? The two guys that have done this, David Leitch and Drew Pearce, this is the list of their credits, combined credits, director, writer. John Wick, Deadpool 2, Hobbs and Shaw, Nobody. Violent Night. It's like a list of my favourite films.
And do you know what?
Iron Man 3.
It looks fantastic. So
it looks amazing.
It's well directed and it's got a good script. It could be one of many.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This looks fantastic. So the key things about it are, right, it's got fantastic action because these guys come from a stunt-making background. And if you stay for all of the closing credits, and I suggest you do, you get to see all the stunt performers doing their thing. They show all the stunts from on the day behind the scenes, which is really cool. So it's got fantastic action. It's really funny. Like, it's a really smart, funny film. Gosling is hilarious. Emily Blunt is very, very funny. It's also a great rom-com. And this is what's surprising a lot of critics. They have great chemistry. The love story is front and centre in this. And they're fantastic. And you want them to get together. So it's like every rom-com. It just has a lot of explosions. And the other thing about it is it's so smart. It's self-referential. It's about movies. There's a scene, for instance, where she's talking to him about... She's a director of a movie and he's a stuntman on the movie. And she's talking about using split screen in the movie. And they use split screen when they're doing the scene. She's on the phone to him and she's like, they don't use split screen anymore. It's very dated. Could we use it? And they mirror each other and they're really clever with the way they do it. And the story is very straightforward. He's a stuntman, but he's been asked to find the lead of the movie, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, who rumoured to be the new James Bond. He's denied it, but who knows? So the star of the movie has vanished and they need someone who can confidentially search for the star of the movie without the studio or anyone finding out. So he doesn't really want to do it, but he pitches in to help. Then people start shooting at him and he's like, they're shooting at me. I don't want to be doing this. So it's funny. It's smart. It's romantic. I loved it. I loved it.
You want, you know, there's regular cinema goers that are hit and miss and all that kind of stuff. But if you're going, you know what, actually, you might go for that.
I think this is one that'll be huge. I really do. It deserves to be huge. But the reviews are great and fan reaction or audience reaction is great as well. It's got something like 85 or 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. 85.
I think there's a cohort of people actually that even if something's great, they just are. They're this type of people that when they're asked in a survey, they say, I don't know. You know, why can't that number? Just doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So full marks.
Full marks for me.
Has anyone else seen it?
Fionnuala wasn't around. She was very excited to see this.
Any of our listeners seen it?
Oh, well, it opened last night.
Okay.
It opened last night. So there was a handful of... Oh, in America, I don't know if they had previews. I know today is the day in America.
Sorry, I misheard you because I wasn't actually really listening to you.
Sorry, that's okay. Well, that would be the case. So there were some people in the cinema last night, so there are some people have seen it.
Three people.
There were actually six, Katie. They were actually
if
six.
If you've seen The Fall Guy, let us know what you think. I think that's going to do well over this weekend.
I hope so, yeah, because it's great fun.
Listener says, Baby Reindeer, the most nuts show I've ever watched, is one way to describe it, certainly. Baby Reindeer was very good, in my opinion. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I felt the story from the comedian was very self-indulgent and his obsession with fame caused him to create the show. I don't necessarily think he was a bad guy, as initially he did try to help the girl by talking to her and giving her a place to feel welcome. The lady's clearly disturbed and her actions can't really be condoned, but all in all, a very good, if a little sad TV show. That comes in from Stevie. Yeah, I agree. He wrote this and acted it, right? So if you feel he was very self-indulgent, I think he kind of is saying, I sort of concede I'm very self-indulgent because this is the program he presented.
Yeah.
And whilst the lady obviously is clearly disturbed, he had ample opportunity to do something that actually was constructive for her, but he didn't because he didn't want to do something that was not constructive for himself.
Detrimental
yes.
to him.
Yeah. Okay,
so everything is, everything bar stuff that's clearly never anyone's fault, everything is kind of his fault. Do you know what I mean? That's the feeling I got from it. Again, there's no spoilers in that whatsoever. Hi, Greg and Co. Who's giving it welly on what's on the telly? It's Michael and Katie giving it welly on what's on the telly. I've sadly only got around to watching one episode of Baby Reindeer, Too Much Sun Outside. As I've heard, Richard Gadd came out on the TV sleuths on who it is until I hear that person has come out now and suing Netflix. I'm not sure they'll have much of a leg to stand on because this is all probably backed up in court cases, and she did. I really have to be careful that I don't spoil it for anyone. I'm on about previous. It becomes clear very, very early on that she has previous. Okay. Anyway, looking forward to the remake reboot of The Fall Guy at the cinema. You've just heard a review from that. And when we had Two Channel Land, The Fall Guy was on Saturday morning and The A Team on later on ITV when it was safer to look in your neighbour's window then. I once saw Emily Blunt in London, but I'm not the kind to kiss and tell. Come on, Kenny. Or Kevin, sorry. Now, for someone of a different vintage, $6 Million Man can be seen right nightly on Legend Extra.
so good.
Where you can be almost be guaranteed of a bionic crossover, cue bionic sand, against all types of villains, even alien Bigfoots. Kevin, as always,
yes.
Thank you for your well-thought-out contribution. Brilliant. We really do appreciate it. Given it welly with what's on the telly, in a minute more will be Michael and Fionnuala. But we're also going to be joined in studio by a guest. So stay right where you are, everyone. Now, Katie and Michael, of course, are still with us, but we're also joined in studio now by Eamon Lynch, who is the writer of the play The Derry Yank. Good morning to you. Thank you so much, Eamon, for calling in.
Morning, Greg. Thank you for having me.
How are you getting on?
We're getting on good. It's 4 weeks today we'll be on stage for the premiere.
So we're in a take a note for your diary situation
here
right
now, aren't we? Yeah, the 31st of May and the 1st of June in St. Colm's Hall.
Right, now, talk to us about the play. It's about a homecoming, so it's particularly given our history and what have you, this is going to resonate for lots of different people in different ways.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Basically, there's three main characters in it. The Derry Yank is a guy called Martin Duffy, and he's been away for 45 years, and he left Derry on what we would call a moonlight flit. And he's now coming back and hadn't been in touch with anybody in all that time. So he's coming back to deal with issues from the past, and particularly with his good friend Kieran McGowan, played by Pat Lynch. Martin Duffy is played by Gerry Doherty, two really great actors in there. So he's coming back to face the music to some degree.
And I think to some extent too, without going into it, you can see the what he's need. He might have to address here. I don't know, even maybe for the reasons that he left, but also sort of, I don't know, abandonment or whatever, the abandonment of people. Because 40 years has passed, zero contact.
So
he returns out of the blue.
So he's coming basically to the doorstep to talk to his old friend. So you can imagine that there's a lot of conflict there. I mean, if I were to try and sum up the play, it's a homecoming, but I suppose the themes there are friendship, betrayal, forgiveness. But the journey to that is quite a lot, and it's done. It's a comedy drama with the emphasis on very much on both. And some of the comedy, I would say, will be not just from the script. I would say that's seeing how I wrote it, but visually, you know, it's very, very funny. But some of the drama in it is, you know, very serious drama and quite upsetting. So there's that mixture of hilarity and upsetting scenes. And that was probably the big challenge for me writing it, to go from, you know, the humorous to the serious and back out.
In terms of the when writing this, and if you had the intention of it going up on stage, the visual humour within it, was that in your mind as you wrote it, or did the director bring that, you know, as part of the process?
Both. I mean, that's a great question, because
of course
I had it written.
No one says that when someone says that.
I would never dream of patronising.
No, I'm only messing.
But it is for this reason.
Yeah.
I certainly had visualised certain things, but when I got the director, Michael Poyner, who's very, very experienced, I mean, he's done about 160 productions. He was once the artistic director of the Lyric and numerous theatres in England. So the man has been there. So when I took the script to him, he talked to me about all this. Mm. And this is my first play. I'm completely new to this. I'd written a book a few years ago, Get That By Home. But there's a big difference between a book and a play.
Backing of your brother, didn't you, Pat, to sort of, you know, he saw something in your writing in the book that says, you can do something.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It kind of came from a throwaway comment from Pat to a friend of mine, Martin, who I quite often have a breakfast with down in Bridgend on a Friday morning. And he said to me, oh, your Pat said, our Eamon should write a play for me and Gerry because we act so well together, especially comedies. And I'm thinking he was taking it from the book. And I just ran with that.
Yeah.
Very quickly got the idea, because I thought, you know, they're both like myself. They're not getting any younger. And I thought I needed something to separate them for a period of time that would give me conflict and would give me a story to tell and would allow the, if you like, the skins to be peeled off the onion.
Because there's a lot of questions, even without me knowing what the story is there could be question marks as the motivation for leaving the first place.
Why did he come back?
And getting through all that.
And
so
to get to that, you know, and like most dramas, it'll not be what you think.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So there's a lot of peelings of the onion skin to come throughout the play.
Do you know the thing I'll be really interested in is the accent of the Derry Yank?
Yeah, it'll be sort of mid-Atlantic, I think.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, it's going to be, that'll be,
you know,
good.
And I've mentioned the two characters that Pat and Jerry play. It initially was going to be a two-hander for them.
Yes.
They got pulled in to do, as I say, they went for the big money and beyond belief, you know, the John Hume play. And Pat said to me, you know, do you ever think of maybe putting in a third character? I said, as I've been writing it, I've thought that.
Yeah.
But because you had asked for a two-hander, I was almost doing it a la carte.
So is Maeve Connolly's role.
I immediately thought of Maeve because she had acted with them in The Bog Couple, which was absolutely a riot when it went on stage in the Millennium by the late Liam Campbell. And I asked her, and at that stage I had no idea what her character would be. I just said, look, I will find you. It took me 3 months and then I got, it was easy fitting her in with the humour, but to give her her story, her coming home story, which there is.
But it sounds like it worked because the space was for her. So it was a blessing, really, was it, that they said, right, a third character might be good.
For me,
filled,
that has made it a much better play.
Yeah,
you probably see it in my demeanour. I'm really enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, of course you are. Why wouldn't you be? It's a wonderful thing to have the talent to be able to do, but also then to have the drive to make it happen.
Yeah. And just
right? Because we all have ideas, but we don't... Yeah. Fulfill them.
Watching them in rehearsals, you know, it's a lovely feeling just to see the words you've written turn into performance.
What actually, can you almost mime the words as they're going through the rehearsals?
Pretty much. And it's not, it's more the fact that they are bringing what's on a page, it's just words. But once this goes into performance, there's movement.
Are you able to let go of that though?
Oh, totally. Most of them I don't go to. I had a conversation with Michael about that and I said, look, you know, this becomes your play when I hand it to you.
They've trusted you, you're trusting
them. And you know, and they come back to me sometimes where there's, like, it's never a final script until it goes on stage and we operate on that basis. But we're very much, it's settled now and I'm really, really looking forward to
it. Like good stories, there's life isn't black and white. There's all different shades. We've been talking about that a little earlier on and that's reflected in it too, isn't
very
it?
Very much
you
so.
Talked of humour.
There's two very serious themes and I'm loath to go into them because I don't want to spoil
it.
And because the audience won't see them coming. But they probably will be upsetting. I mean, I put an over 16s on this because of them. But I do think it will be more than balanced by the humour, both visually and through the script.
Exactly. And of course, then there's the you know, it's guidance too. A 13-year-old can be far more mature than a 16-year-old as well.
Yeah.
So, right. So, as I say, people have a month to take note of it, right? So where is it? When is it?
It's in St. Columb's Hall, which was a story in that in itself because it was almost like a spiritual home for me.
Mm-hmm.
Boy dancer, not too good at it, but in the Derry Facies there. It was a cinema when I was a boy, the concerts there. For anyone who read my book, my very first date was on the steps of St. Columb's Hall at the Derry Face. So I went there almost expecting to be sent home and was Anne-Marie Gallagher welcomed me, a local writer with local actors for a local play. She's been more than welcoming and so we're up and running with that. So it's the 31st of May and the 1st of June. Doors open 7 for an 8 start.
And what about tickets? Anyone who wants to secure tickets now, has that portal been opened?
They've been opened for, brilliant. In fact, there's 75% of the allocated tickets are now gone.
That's fantastic.
It's a great, you know, to be 4 weeks out and be able to say that. There were three outlets, but Little Acorn's bookstore in Derry has sold out. So Very Clever, if you like, is the outlet for anyone who wants to get a hard copy ticket who doesn't use online. And then online, it will be stcolumbshall.com/Derry Yank. Yeah, we'll take you in.
Once you get to the website, you'll find it.
Once you get there, the St. Columb's Hall website.
All right, brilliant. At what point, if any, are you going to start bricking it? if you know what I mean.
Well, that was on the road up to Letterkenny.
Well, hey, I'm worried for you if this bothered you, but anyway, go ahead.
No, I mean, obviously I'll be nervous about it. I'm kept busy because, you know, whilst I have three professional actors, I have a stage manager, I have a director, they're all professionals. I'm kind of doing the PR, I'm doing the production, I'm getting the bits for the set here and there. So I'm too busy to be bricking it, really.
I think I defy anyone listening to not wish you anything but huge success with this, not just in this run, but hopefully future runs, Eamon.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, so that's Eamon Lynch, the writer of the Derry Yank. We can't give too much away, but I think Eamon has teased it enough that it's going to be a fascinating watch on many different levels. You can get your tickets right now. Go to stcolumbushall.com.
St. Columb's Hall?
I beg your pardon. stcolumbushall.com. We'll link that on our socials as well for fear of any me misleading anyone, of course. 75% of the allocation's already gone. And the other outlet you mentioned, sorry, Eamon.
Very Clever, F-E-R-R-Y. Christopher Ferry has a shop in Bishop Street in Derry.
And if you're from Donegal, and the last thing that would probably tempt you to go is a part of Donegal being mentioned.
There very much is, yes.
You will get that, all right?
If there's a storyline that refers to Bert.
Yeah.
And it refers to a particular girl called Aoife. She's not an on-screen character. Or on stage character, but she brings up quite a lot of humour to both Act One and Act Two in the references to her.
And God, you're good at this PR stuff, aren't you?
I don't know.
You really are.
It's in the blood with me. My mum was an Anishinaabe woman, so yes. In my book there was a lot about Donegal too.
Yeah, no, I'm not on about that mention. I'm on about the teasers.
Really?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Anyway, but if your name is Aoife and you live in Burt, this is not you.
But you can buy a ticket just to double check. Okay, brilliant. Listen, Eamon, thank you so very much for calling down. It's already a success, of course, but I'm sure it's going to be. And we wish you all the luck. But with the team that you're working from or with, and with your own pedigree as well, the better you are, the luckier you are, or something along those lines. Okay. Thanks so much. That's Eamon Lynch.
Thank you.
That is the Derry Yank at the end of this month and the start of next month. We'll remind you a little closer to the date if, on the off chance, there are some tickets left available. Okay, Legend Freeview TV station every night shows The $6 Million Man. There you go. Obviously, Michael's got it on DVD, multiple copies. Silly listener.
I do actually. I obviously have two. I have the American DVDs, the English DVDs, and South American DVDs.
You don't have the Spanish dub?
Le Hombre Nuclear. I have those DVDs as well. Yeah.
Right, I want to mention a couple of things as well, because that's what this show is. This part of the show is all about supporting community events and things to do for the weekend as well. And if you like your cars, you heard us talk to the guys, did you, from 074. This is their cars and coffee event that's taking place. So we spoke to them a number of weeks back. And you know, it's crazy how things feel like they're so far away. And then next thing you know, they're just around the corner. So on Sunday at the Snugborough Bonagie Letterkenny, that's just out the four lanes towards Derry and you turn into the left. You're promised cars, food and coffee. The event is a way of getting like-minded car enthusiasts together for a coffee while raising money for MAG so they can continue to support all the homeowners impacted by the defective concrete crisis. So all proceeds going to MAG. That's this Sunday at 11 a.m. So it's a nice early start. Now, a Gemma McHale cycle takes place on Sunday. It's from Ahiarn Centre. Starts at 10 a.m. sharp. Registration's from 9 a.m. It's 35-mile, 56K. Spot prices on the day. Further details, well, we have a contact number for Kieran here. And proceeds are going to counselling in local primary schools, MS, cancer care and local charity events, all in the name of the beautiful Gemma McHale. For refreshments will be served before and after the cycle, by the way. Now, a fundraising variety concert is on tonight. We have your weekend covered from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's in St. Eugene's Hall, Moville. Doors open at 7 p.m. Start time 7:30. So everyone's going to arrive at 7:32 because that's what we do in this country. But don't, because you might miss the fun. Proceeds in aid of the Holy Spirit Hospital in Sierra Leone. Let me see. Mary Doherty was on to us. She's from Lifeline Inishowen, a charity. Good friends of this show. Lifeline Inishowen is having a Go Purple Day this morning, running until 2 p.m. You're invited to call in and say hello and find out what Lifeline do, and they do fantastic work. Gregor, we mentioned for Bert's bingo, it's the big bingo this Sunday. It's at 3 p.m. in St. Mary's Hall. Proceeds to the parish funds. That comes in from Kathleen. And I'll come back to that one. Right, okay. So, AT, you've done... No, I did one. Right, okay, let's see. Green Book. No?
Yeah, I can talk about Green Book.
When you number them 1 to 5...
I just... Just to be efficient.
Yes, but is that...
No, no. No, the first one there.
So we're going back to one then.
No.
So you don't put numbers on it. I said five. Let's go back to one.
I haven't seen it
coming
yet.
Soon.
That's coming soon. So I just thought it might be one to highlight.
Let's do it. Go ahead.
Is that okay?
Should I add numbers from?
You don't need two numbers. One and two.
Some weeks I have six or seven.
Yeah, no, but you know, I disregard three, four, five, and six. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't have time.
We're not talking about that, Michael, today, okay? Now, do y'all remember the scandal with Ashley Madison and the website?
Yes, this is a dating website.
So this
is it,
kind of, I
this
spotted
the Sugar
this.
Daddy's one, no?
It's the married people. I know
there's something a wee bit
people
daunting.
In relationships.
Right.
So basically, this was a website set up around 2001, I believe, by its founders. And it is aimed towards, they found that a lot of people in their research on dating websites were either married or already in relationships. So listen, I have my own thoughts on this, right? Right. But anyway, they set up a website specifically for people who are married and in relationships to go on and date and do things they're not supposed to be doing. And it was all sort of, their site was said to be a lot more secure. People's identities were kept an awful lot more secret.
Their tagline was, "Life is short, have an affair."
Yes. That's right, yeah.
That's a real Ron Seal one, isn't it? That's what it says in the
text. They also said people have affairs anyway, so we're not encouraging people to have affairs. We're just saying that if you want to have an affair, come here. So, I mean...
Fair enough.
Anyway, look, it is what it is. But on the scandalous side of it, I think in around 2015, kaboom, hackers came in, hacked the site, released details of 2,500 members publicly, and so this documentary that's coming out on Netflix now on
is it a documentary or a dramatization?
No, it's a documentary.
Okay.
15th of May, it's going to be interviewing past employees of the site, members, all kinds of different people who were very much involved at the time. Believe it or not, there was 37 million users of this site across 40 countries. In its heyday.
Yeah, but was 30 million of them to see if the partner was doing the dirty?
I don't think so, in fairness. I don't know. But 37 million is like, that's unbelievable. That's quite telling about who we are as a human species. Mm.
Yes.
But anyway. So it is about this site. And I thought, I remember it being very prolific in the news.
And it's called Green Book.
It's called
Ashley Madison Sex Lies and Scandal.
I was like, what?
Sex Lies and DM Slides.
It's not called that, but we can make another one called that. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Off the back of this one.
I just won't let my full-time girlfriend know.
But listen, it's to me, it just sounds like, you know, chewing gum for the eyes, but like, you know.
As long as it's good, because I find often the most interesting thing on Netflix is the coming soon, and then you go, oh yeah, watch that, and you get 5 minutes into it and then you don't watch it. You know, it always looks more exciting when it's trailed.
What I also find quite interesting is it's not splashed all over Netflix as something that's coming soon. Like, maybe it's too early, maybe next week it will be, but like, I had to go into what was actually coming soon in their coming soon section,
see,
rather
I'm,
than actually
I'm
it
kind
being
of,
on their homepage.
Yeah, exactly. I'm kind of like, the next month, 6 weeks, I kind of want time to move so slowly because there's so much to do. Because obviously, from a news perspective, program perspective, we've got the local elections, we've got the European elections.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other things that I'm involved in. And I just looking at the 15th, and it's actually filling me with anxiety. I know this starts on the 15th, but it's filling me with anxiety. The 15th is going to be coming very shortly, and that I've got lots to do, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay.
But everything will be fine.
Deep breath there, though. You're all right.
Everything will be okay.
It'll fly
baby
around,
reindeer.
And then we'll be putting up our Christmas trees. So don't worry about it.
Can I at least go out and get a bit of sun first in a responsible way? I know you love Red Eye, and I feel like I don't think 2 minutes will do it justice.
Oh, okay.
What do you think? What do you think of the weekend?
I watched all six episodes of Red Eye. It's ITV's Sunday night thriller. It's excellent. It's a guy who's been extradited from London back to China. He's on a plane. The whole six episodes are the 11-hour flight, and people are getting murdered on the plane. Bang, bang, bang. Someone's after him. And while that's happening on the plane, there's a lot happening in the halls of power back in London. It's from the producers of Doctor Who. And the person who wrote it clearly watched 24, because it borrows heavily from 24, and I loved every second of it. I thought the last three episodes in particular were magnificent.
Which is always good.
Yeah, and it ended fantastic, and it's got twists, and it's got a sniper, and it's got moles.
Sniper people. On a plane?
Well, they're not on the plane, no. You know how in 24, just as someone was about to tell Jack something important, a sniper, that happens in this. You're like, oh my God, the person who knew everything just got killed. It's great. Loved it. Richard Armitage is very good. Leslie Sharp is very good. There's if you like this kind of show,
okay,
it's excellent.
Circus, you're going to the circus, Katie.
I am
tonight.
Yes, bringing the children, and I haven't been to a circus now in years and years. I think I only went maybe once as a child, so I'm interested to see what I actually think of it. I'm looking. There's good reviews on Facebook, and.
Well, everything on Facebook's true, but I would say in this case it's
bang
true.
On. Yeah, whatever course, you read, you should listen to.
Oh, God. If you could uninvent anything, what would you uninvent?
I think
Twitter, I'd uninvent Twitter. You could uninvent anything. Now, don't say heavy stuff like nuclear weapons or stuff.
But if you could
uninvent anything, what would it be, Michael?
Mobile phones, I hate them.
Really?
Hate them.
Uninvent mobile phones.
Get rid of the darn things. We didn't need them for generations.
Do you know what? I would just go with smartphones. I think they bring...
Uninvent them.
I would uninvent smartphones,
How could we track every single minute of the time of everyone around us?
How could we know where everyone is at every minute of all the
Imagine
time?
Imagine sitting and watching an entire hour-long programme without going...
Scrolling.
I think that's your problem and not the phone's problem.
As I've said before, if I go out for a night out, I don't bring my phone. If I go to meet someone for lunch, I either leave it at home or turn it off. Yeah. They're horrible things.
I know, and I'm so addicted.
People can't sleep because of them. I could talk for hours. I hate them.
Right, okay. Well, we might come back to what would you want to invent. Thank you so very much. No, don't be sorry. I asked you a question to get your point of view. Michael Leddy, thank you very much as always.
Pleasure.
Katie McGee, thank you very much indeed.
No problem.
You're not with us next week.
I'm away.
You're with us in a fortnight. Okay.
I'll be well, please. Yeah.
Right. That is it. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Be happy and be safe as much as you can be. And hopefully you get to enjoy the longer weekend. And for those of you who are working, it's probably going to be a nightmare. But anyway, hopefully it all works out for you. John Breslin's next. Have a great one.